Welcome to Dead Tribe Paranormal Podcast. I'm Kelly. Super excited. Another great podcast. We're interviewing Mindy Winholtz. She does a lot of stuff. So she has her own blog on the paranormal. The Pop Goes the Annabelle Lee. She's a freelance writer for Paranormal Underground magazine and started her own group, Holy Haunted Housewives. And she's had some really cool investigations to Waverly Hills. Like some of the big ones people are going to be jealous of. How you doing today?
I'm really well. How about yourself?
Good. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks, you guys.
Yeah, no problem. So we'll just start with the main question we always ask first. So you are here because you're interested in the paranormal. Why? How? What made you interested?
And I think it happened before I was even born. My mom's birthday is on Halloween.
Oh, good.
There you go. She always had an interest in the paranormal, and so I kind of grew up around it, mostly ghosts, unexplained occurrences, ESP, those kind of things. So I grew up around it. When I was 3 years old, there's a children's record. It's called The Story of Dracula, Wolfman, and Frankenstein. And my mom, both my parents are teachers, and so I grew up also going to the library constantly. I would check this record out, and I would memorize portions of this really creepy record and loved it. So that was one of the first things that I did relating to the paranormal, was to be fixated on three main icons of paranormal.
Okay.
And horror stuff.
Cool. And did you have some experiences on your own?
Yeah, absolutely. Our house that I grew up in now is about 100 years old. So when I was growing up, of course, it was 70 years old, 80 years old. Big house, creepy things. My sister would have night terrors, for one thing. I have seen things, heard things in there. Not necessarily that I can attribute to the paranormal, but definitely creepy. But I love it. I feel very at home with any kind of a creepy environment. So, yeah, I've seen things, heard things. We can get into all that if you want. But, yeah, definitely just, it's just ingrained in me. My family history, I'm of Irish, Celtic, Welsh, Scottish, English, German heritage. All of those things really, I think, combine to form who I am and love the stories. So, yeah, I think I was just, it's just in my DNA, basically.
Yeah. So when you had experiences, no one was ever telling you like, oh, it's nothing, or your imagination. They were just like, yeah, it's a ghost.
Yeah, they're just like, huh, wow, what is that? My brother and sister the same way. We're all a little prescient as well. And so that kind of is an interesting facet, something fun that we talk about at holiday gatherings, too. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So what are some of the experiences that you had?
Well, let's see. I was about 9 years old. I had gone upstairs to get something. It was dark. It was night. Ran up there, walked past my parents' bedroom, saw a woman standing in the bedroom. Granted, it was dark, but I could see her, the outline. I could see her there. She was wearing a floral print dress. And then she just vanished. I went tearing down the stairs. I said, I saw a ghost. I saw a ghost. Explained what the woman was wearing. And, you know, my dad said, well, could have been the former owner visiting the house. Her wake had been held that very same day, and actually they had told me she was wearing a floral dress.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She was a kind lady. Maybe she was just stepping in to say goodbye. I don't know. That's one thing. Another thing, home alone one day and just heard ruckus in the back porch. No one there. Can't explain it. A few years later, my mom was at home by herself in the kitchen, heard hello, just as clear as day, right out there. She comes out there. No one is there. No one had been there. And, you know, really interesting. And I had a few things happen in our house, too, since I've been married and have a family. A couple things that I can't explain there as well.
Did you and your family ever have experiences at the same time?
Not that I can recall. I think they're all a lot of very separate instances. I'll give you an example. My brother is a law enforcement officer, and he was patrolling out by the highway one night, small town in a rural state. And to his mind came the thought, the next person that I see is going to, there's going to be something wrong with their face. That's a pretty specific thought to have, right?
Yeah, really.
So this is in the evening. This is after dark, and he's driving, and he sees a motorist in distress. And so he goes and helps them, and they were fine. You know, he was like, okay, that's weird. That's fine. He goes on. Not more than 20 minutes later, there's another motorist in distress, pulls over. The guy has a birthmark covering the whole left side of his face.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's very weird. He's seen things, too, when he's been out on patrol at night, things that he can't explain. My sister also is the same way. Her son actually has epilepsy and can sense and see things that we cannot in her house, and has been very descriptive about what he's seen. And we're open to that. I mean, research has shown that people that do have brain disorders can kind of see beyond what our five senses are able to detect. And so sure, we're all just really open and supportive with him about what he wants to talk about, if he wants to talk about anything that he's seen.
Well, has he ever seen things, you know, like you kind of had your validation with the floral dress, like it probably could have been that homeowner. Has he seen like any of your family members and things like that?
He sees shadows. He sees maybe shadow people. We're thinking a lot of black, a lot of swirly things, things without any kind of distinctive features. And actually his brother, when he was very young, has also said the same things. And his brother is okay health-wise. So we don't know if it's something with the house as well, but nothing really similar to what I've seen, but they have seen shadows.
Huh. Does it scare them at all?
It did when they were younger, and now they're kind of used to it.
No kidding. Did anyone else have any kind of ESP thing? That's really, you don't really hear that as much.
Yeah, no, it's my mom and my brother and my sister and myself. And it isn't very often. It's just, it's sometimes when we're in sync with whatever activity that is that we're doing. So I'll give you an example. I'm a therapist. That's my background. I've been a therapist for 15 years. And I work with people all the time. And so I work with college students, and I absolutely love it. It's a great environment. But there have been times when I've been in session with people, and all of a sudden I'll get a flash. I'll see something in my mind. This could be the first time that I've ever met with anyone. And all of a sudden I'll say to them, I'll give you an example. I was working with a young man and a lot of trauma in his background. And all of a sudden I said, you used to ride horses, didn't you? And his jaw dropped to the floor, and he said, how did you know that? And I said, I don't know. I saw it. Now, riding horses, not a real common activity from where I'm from. Yeah, granted, I grew up in a rural area, but, you know, my friends didn't do horseback riding or lessons or things like that. And so I now live in a state where I didn't grow up, but not common. Let me just say horse lessons, not common. Very interesting. And so other things will happen. You know, I'll say, wow, you used to really enjoy rock climbing, or you used to really enjoy, you know, a very specific activity, and they won't even say anything. And it catches me off guard as well, but it's really helpful in therapy. So
it is, but it's like, that's kind of weird. It's like intrusion, but it's not. You can't help it. It's just coming to you.
It comes. Yeah, I certainly don't ask for it. And it does advance the therapeutic process, though, really quickly. You know, I don't have to do a lot of digging sometimes. It will just happen.
Right. Has anyone ever taken aback by that in a negative way? Like, what the heck? Are you, like, looking into me? Are you asking questions about me?
No, because that's the kind of therapist I am. I'm really direct and pretty much upfront with them about that when they come into session. And I feel like, you know, a lot of people, if they are not comfortable with that, I can refer them on to somebody else. But knock on wood, I've had a lot of good luck with being just upfront and direct.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
So when did you decide to start researching the paranormal?
Well, I've been a big fan of it, obviously. I'm a big reader as well. And so a couple of years ago, it came to my mind. I thought, oh, I really would like to look at the link between the diagnoses of anxiety and depression and the occurrence of a paranormal experience, specifically seeing an apparition.
But was this like from an assignment you were given, or you just, I mean, that's no, like just, a term paper.
No, it was just something that I wanted to do. Since I work in a university, I had a really great opportunity to have a good sample of people that wanted to take the quiz or take the evaluation. And just knowing that I had an audience there, I went ahead and put that together, put together the questionnaire, had, I think, about 130 people filled it out, got a really good response. And just from running the raw numbers, comes up with there actually is no direct link between having a diagnosis of anxiety and depression and a paranormal experience, which I think argues the case of, well, you're not crazy or you're not depressed or anxious if you have had a paranormal occurrence.
Oh, okay.
Another really interesting thing that I found out was matrilineally is where we get our attitudes and our ideas about the paranormal, so from our mothers. And that was really concurrent with the evidence I was reading and then the responses that I got from my subjects. And I thought that that was really interesting. It isn't from our father's side, it's from our mother. And in my case, it's true. And in a few other people that I know personally, that's true as well.
Oh, wow. I never heard that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also from the church, which a lot of people consider the church to be kind of a motherly, you know, influence
right.
in their life.
So. Yeah, I would say, I mean, for myself, it comes from my mother's side more, too. So did you find that out by accident, or was that because of something else you were looking into?
No, actually, just I was looking at where the attitudes came from. Part of my question in the evaluation. And then as I was doing the research, like, oh, that also is verified. So yeah, it just all kind of worked out together.
Wow. What were some of the questions that you had on your questionnaire about the anxiety and paranormal?
What is your attitude about mental health? What is your attitude about the paranormal? Do you like scary movies? Do you like scary books? What are your, you know, kind of your religious beliefs? So I was looking mainly at those kind of things. Have you been diagnosed by a physician or a clinician, or are you self-diagnosed? Those kind of things. So just trying to get people's attitudes, their beliefs, and seeing if that influences if they'd had a, you know, what they think is a normal encounter as well.
Okay, cool. So it was like open-ended questions and concrete, like yes, no.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome. Thanks for having something really cool to say.
Still waiting on running all the statistics because guess what? I hate statistics. I think they're boring. And so I'm just trying to finish all of that stuff up and then hoping to have it published at some point. So I'll keep you posted.
What's that, a paper you're working on? Sorry, it kind of glitched out again.
Oh, no, sorry. It's the research project. And I would like to get it published in a psychological journal at some point.
Oh, wow. Have you already looked into getting that done?
Yes. All I really need to do is run the statistics and then start shopping it around.
No kidding. Oh, my God. Good luck.
All right. Thank you.
So you're a big reader. You know, we were saying before the interview, you've also read a lot of books on the paranormal and paranormal research and things like that.
Yes.
Do you have any favorite, pioneers in the field or anything?
Absolutely. Beth Scott and Michael Norman were my first two that I really enjoyed. They wrote Haunted Heartland, Haunted America. You may be familiar with it. It's just a wonderful collection of all kinds of paranormal stories from all over the United States. Absolutely one of my favorite. I've read all of Leslie Rule's books. You know, she's Anne Rule's daughter. It comes from, you know, a little bit more of the investigative side of the paranormal. I think it's really entertaining. Basically, I mean, I'm a paranormal TV junkie, but I have my favorite. I don't know if I can tell you which favorite specific TV shows. I don't give anybody free advertising. But have read a lot of the books by the mainstream stars of the TV shows.
You can say.
Okay. Paranormal State and then Dark World, Zach Bagans, both of his books, all the Ghost Hunters books that Jay and Grant have written, Nick Groff's book, which I thought was really, really interesting, Jeff Bellinger's books, Troy Taylor's books. I think Troy Taylor he's done an amazing amount of research. Really enjoy him. Josh Gates, he did Destination Truth. So his is a little more kind of monsters, crypto, you know, mysteries, things like that. Jim Harold's campfire books, Haunted Highway, a book called Mrs. Wakeman versus the Antichrist, which is a really interesting nonfiction book about the paranormal in America around the turn of the century and how Americans have viewed the paranormal since that time. It was really interesting. Let's see, Your Neighborhood Gives Me the Creeps. That's about a neighborhood. Chicago. It's really and then of course my very favorite, you know, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. We all read when we were younger, right? The Scholastic books.
Yeah.
So you know, and it's pretty much I'll go to the library and just look at that whole nonfiction section. The Dewey Decimal System number 133. I'll pretty much pick up anything. I have to say there've been times when I've been really disappointed by what I've read. Sometimes they're thought-provoking, and really, overall, I look for not only being entertained, but being challenged and having a different perspective on some of these. If there's a lot of repetitive stories, same places, a different bit of a different take on those things. So, yeah, pretty much at Halloween, I'm picking over everything, going to the library, looking for all the paranormal things that I can find. Not really into UFOs, not really into cryptozoology, but definitely down for the paranormal stuff.
Yeah, ghosts are our faves. What are some things that you didn't like or that have disappointed you or that you didn't agree with?
Oh, well, I don't want to call anybody out particularly, but I just in general will say I'm not into the shock value of the books. And also with the advent and with the popularity of self-publishing, I mean, I definitely have friends that have done it. I support it. I think it's great. But there have been times that I've read things that the story sounds really good and it's just poorly written. Hiring a editor is always high, I think, on any writer's priority list. So I'm kind of picky on that. I want it to be good. I want it to be intelligent, thoughtful, and well-written. So I always kind of like make sure it's published or if it's, you know, written by someone else as well, a co-writer or anything, that they're notable in the field as well. So those are kind of some of the things that I look for. Also just, you know, more of a credible kind of take on the story. If the story sounds too fantastic, my rating comes off. I describe myself as being an open-minded skeptic. Mm-hmm. I believe, but I also don't want to believe that everything has a definitive link to being a ghost or something paranormal. So I have a little bit of a critical eye when it comes to those things, but doesn't stop me from reading about everything that's out there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like some people are almost getting too open-minded. Like it starts off, like I feel like for me, it's like, you know, when you're a little kid, everything was a ghost or, you know, if you're being scared. And then now that we are adults and if you can read and do read and, you know, kind of get your own thoughts, you can kind of, you know, try to be more logical. And I don't know, I feel like we were there for a minute and now people are going back to like everything's a ghost, everything's a demon, everything's.
I am not a huge fan of exorcism, like, or, you know, looking at all of those things. Not that I don't believe in it, but I feel like people do jump to that demonic link way too quickly. My biggest thing is it is about intent. If you intend to go in a place and you're believing that it is haunted or it is some kind of demonic entity within, that's probably what you're going to experience. And so definitely doing the research or doing the tours or investigating, go into it with an open and a healthy mind. Don't automatically go into the deep, dark place. Because I feel like it can have greater psychological tolls on you later.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to be fair, if you've watched all of, you know, the whole series of Ghost Adventures, I've watched it since the beginning, and I've just watched Zach and Aaron both transform into people that were very different from the beginning of the series and now to where they're at now. And I know it's about 10 years that have passed. But also looking at it kind of from that psychological viewpoint, I'm thinking, you know, are you okay? Is this something you're doing for the TV show? Or they seem to be really either they're, if they're doing it for the fans or they're doing it for the subject matter, that's one thing. But if their lives are really that dark and they're into those kind of dark things, you know, I'm kind of like, wow, is that you? Or is that just by the nature of what you're doing? It's just interesting. It's just kind of an interesting concept. So,
yeah. When it comes to judging writing, takes one to know one when it comes to writers, and you definitely are one with your research paper. Now, so what came first? You blog and you also write for Paranormal Underground magazine. You did your blog first. What got you started?
I wanted to do this blog for a while. I kind of inspired by Aaron Sagers. You know, he does paranormal pop culture. And I thought, well, that's really kind of a cool idea, you know, looking at the way that we, you know, integrate this, how it can be fun in pop culture. You know, you have Walking Dead, everybody watches that. I actually don't, full disclosure, but I have nothing against it. American Horror Story, which I do watch, I do love. A little disappointed in this season, but we won't get into that.
Gaga Hotel's not your thing.
It's just, there's a lot of pretty boys on there, but I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why vampires can die in so many different ways. Like, it's just not consistent, but I digress. I just really like the idea of looking at pairing the paranormal with just popular culture. And I thought, well, Annabelle Lee, I'm a Poe fan. Why don't we just make it about Pop Goes Annabelle Lee? And so I have written about American Horror Story. I've written about, you know, there's a couple book reviews on there. Did a review on I read about this haunted house out in California that they had this year that I was completely intrigued by. They had a whole backstory. It was a college student, actually. You go in and you enter the mind of this college student who's having an extreme mental breakdown. And you go in and you see her nightmares. You see the way that she lives. And some of the images that went on the YouTube video were so incredibly nightmarish. I thought, wow, these people, they really got it right. Like, these people, they know how to scare. And I was intrigued by using a freshman biology student who wanted to become a doctor who was also dealing with bipolar symptoms and dealing with an eating disorder and dealing with sexual abuse and trauma. I was intrigued by it. And on the other hand, I'm thinking, I hope they have a release that people sign before they go into the lawsuits going everywhere with this kind of subject matter. So, yeah, I just feel like it's a fun thing to do. It's a good release for me, you know, working the job that I do. And it's just something that I find relaxing.
So you were doing your blog, Pop Goes the Annabelle Lee, and how did the Paranormal Underground magazine come about?
Yeah, so I had a great experience at Missouri State Penitentiary, and I wanted to write about it. So I started Googling paranormal magazines, and I found Paranormal Underground, and I contacted Cheryl, and she was fantastic, and she liked my idea that I pitched, and I wrote her an article, sent her some pictures, and she was really gracious, and she published it. And since then, I've written a couple more for her, and it's been a lot of fun.
Where can people get that magazine? Because it's not online, is it?
It is online. You have to pay for a subscription. The subscription, I think, is pretty low cost. But, yeah, it's under paranormalunderground.com.
Okay, just not a free magazine.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you do have to pay for it. So.
Yes, it inhibited my Google stalk of you.
Right.
So you got to go to Missouri State Pen and a couple other places. So now you have your ghost hunting group. Were you investigating on your own first, or did you form Holy Haunted Housewives and then go to places like Missouri State Pen and Waverly Hills?
Well, it was kind of concurrent. We went as part of a tour, guided tour.
This is you and your friend Polly?
Yes, me and Polly. And we've been friends for years. We actually live about 7 hours apart now. This opportunity came up. It was through a company that provides tours to these advertised haunted locations. And then they have the sweet deal of letting you meet the stars from Ghost Hunters. And so our team that was there when Polly and I went was Adam, Barry, and Amy Bruni, and Steve Gonsalves, and the other one. Chris Williams, duh. Okay. They were all there. Sorry. And so we got to, first of all, we got to learn the history of the penitentiary, which is absolutely fascinating. James Earl Ray actually escaped from Missouri State Penitentiary, and after he did, he went on to assassinate Martin Luther King Jr. And Sonny Liston was in there. That's where he learned how to box. Emma Goldman. Emma Goldman was an anarchist at around the turn of the century. She was housed there as well, accused of communism. Really fascinating and notable place. It's huge as well. It's just massive. It was built in 1836 and completed, and started receiving inmates at that time, and then it didn't close until 2004. So it ran for several years, and we got 45 minutes in four different locations, and my most memorable experience was when Polly and I were in cell number 226 in H block. We were up there, we were alone, it was completely dark, and we were doing an EVP session, and all of a sudden, to my right, I heard six sharp intakes of breath, kind of like if you can imagine someone just huffing and puffing in your ear, almost really menacingly. Right there in my ear. And I stopped her. I said, "Did you hear that?" And she said, "I didn't hear anything." And we played it back on the tape. There was nothing. We were standing there, and all of a sudden, like a ribbon of cold air right around my ankles. And it was the end of July. There's no air conditioning. It's hotter than the blazes. It's in Missouri, so it's hot and humid. And, you know, where did that come from? And so just having that sensation, having that there, it was, at the time, it was really impactful because it was just having someone breathing in your ear. And, of course, that's where the men were housed, and they didn't see a lot of women. And so it's kind of what we chalked it up to. And we were leaving that area, and she heard distinctive footsteps right behind her. And when we got back to our tour guide, they said, "Oh, yeah, that's reported all the time. That's a janitor that had a limp and would drag his leg behind him." And they said there's a lot of reports of hearing those footsteps down there. So it was a great location. It was pretty active. I think a lot of people caught a lot of interesting phenomena. We got to go visit the gas chamber. 46 inmates were executed within the gas chamber. I believe there was 45 men and one woman. So it was amazing. If anybody ever has a chance, I'd highly recommend getting to go.
Yeah, I mean, that place is really infamous. It was the bloodiest 47 acres, Time Magazine called it. Just for all, like, the murders that went down in there and the assaults. So how do those guided tours work, then, for anybody listening who is thinking about going on one of those? So you went, you know, a lot of these prisons, Missouri State Pen included, obviously. I know they have, like, the guided tours. They also have ones where you can go on your own, like a private overnight, public overnight. The event you went to, how many people were part of this investigation?
There were several. I want to say there were probably over 200, and then we were broken down into four different groups. So it's probably about 50 people per group. And actually, because it is so big, you never felt like you were on top of one another. It was really great. And so we did it. We booked it through a company. I don't know if I can say, I don't want to give them free advertising or anything. But,
that's all right. You can.
Okay. We went through Ideal Event Management, and they put on a great show. And that's who we went through with Waverly Hills as well. And they're great. You get to meet the talent. They get to spend time with them, pick their brain, talk with them. And then you get the extreme added bonus of being able to investigate on your own. So I would check out their website. Or again, you know, both Waverly Hills and Missouri State Pen also offer the tours that you can go and take for yourself. I think even Waverly Hills does an afternoon tour on Sundays. If you don't like to be there in the dark and you want to just walk through, that's an incredibly beautiful and impressive building as well to look at in the daytime. So either way, you know, but yeah, do some research and kind of see what you can come up with, because they're just absolutely fascinating places to go visit.
That's good to know, a firsthand account, because I mean, that was always my thought. If there's like 50 people with you, I would think it would kind of ruin the investigation, or, you know, you'd have like 30 people going, "Did you hear that? You see that?" or contaminating each other's evidence. But it wasn't really like that. You're saying?
No, not so much, because especially with the penitentiary, I mean, you could be on a whole floor all by yourself because it's just so big. Waverly Hills was a little bit different, and I know I think some people were really frustrated because we went down into the death chute you know, like 800 feet down below ground. It's where they used to take the deceased and slide them down to the bottom of the basement. And then a car would come around, the hearse would come around and pick up the deceased, take him out before anybody at the Waverly Hills would be able to see that another person had lost their battle with tuberculosis.
Right. Yeah, because that was the TB hospital and they didn't want people. they kind of care about their psychological state a little bit, so
yeah, it's a little morale boost or shock morale booster, haha. Anyway, but yeah, so we were trying to investigate down there, and I felt really bad because there were people down there with microphones, there were people down there with expensive EVP equipment, and all you could hear was just people walking up and down the stairs or talking, and that was really distracting. I think they had way too many people down there in the death chute, but in other areas. Waverly Hills, too, is so large, you could have a quiet space and you could stop. So it just kind of depended, you know, everybody wants to go to that one particular area where they've had the most reported hauntings or activity. And actually, for my recommendation, and one that some of the seasoned hunters have said, is to just find a spot, sit down, and just wait. Sit in the quiet, sit in the dark, because they say, you know, most of ghost hunting is actually not that eventful. You just sit and you wait and you watch. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so yeah, I would recommend taking that approach too. You know, they'll come and they'll speak if they want to. So.
So when it was broken down into groups, 50 of you went with like Amy, 50 of you went with Chris, and did she kind of go around to each of you, or how did that work?
Basically what happened is you all kind of, they would stand there, they'd stand in one location and you all kind of gather around and they would give the history of the area and the location, and they would give a rundown of some of the activity that had been in that location. And then they would say, okay, you have 45 minutes to go. And some people would head right out, or they would say, you know, you can talk to me, you can ask me questions, whatever you want to do, this is your time. And so, you know, it was kind of interesting that way. And felt kind of intimate because you could actually approach them and say, hey, I've been wondering about this concept. What is your opinion? And it was neat to get to talk to them. And actually, Amy and Steve had two different opinions on the same question that I'd asked, which I thought was kind of neat. And it had more to do with, you know, can your body be used as a detector? Like the hair on your arms, does it stand up if there's something in the room with you? And, you know, Amy said, oh, definitely that's something that can be used as a meter to tell if there's any kind of electricity or something going on in the room. And Steve said, well, he said, I've been to MIT and I've talked to professors there. And he said, if they're thinking it's more of a psychological kind of, you think there's somebody in the room with you, so then your body reacts to that. Mm. So I thought it was kind of interesting. But yeah, they were very gracious, very kind people. And, you know, when you go there and you have to meet so many people because everybody wants a little piece of their attention, but they were so calm and gracious was really nice as well. So it made for a whole great evening, and both experiences were great. I got to meet John Zaffis at Waverly Hills, and, of course, he's a pioneer in the field. And he had only been recovered from a heart attack for about 3 or 4 weeks before he came and did Waverly Hills with us. So kudos to him. I know. It was great. He did a spirit box session, and I actually wrote about that for Paranormal Underground, and it was the first spirit box that I ever encountered, and it was interesting. I thought it would be a lot scarier, and it just was really intriguing.
Yeah, what was your take on that? That's one of those, like, hot-button equipment debates.
Yeah. Well, you know, me and my skeptical mind, I'm thinking, surely there's got to be something. You know, I'm thinking, where's the hidden man behind the curtain? But if I just took it for what it was, you know, we would ask, who's the president? Someone asked, who's the president? And they said, Roosevelt. That was the name that came through on the spirit box. And how many of there are you? 14. You know, how old are you? 21. Do you have a girlfriend? Bridget. And, of course, Bridget was one of our tour guides.
Oh.
And yeah, she's with getting her ghost out. She's great. So, you know, some of the things coming out, I'm like, wow, that's really interesting. I don't know. For me, the jury is still out. I'm not really sure if I believe everything. I need to know more. But the actual experience and being there and witnessing it was really cool.
Yeah. Do you know what kind it was? What spirit box?
I don't actually recall that. But Yeah, it was dark. He's holding his hand, and I guess I didn't even think. I was just really excited. I'm like, ooh, what are we going to do?
Yeah, right. That's what I was just curious.
That's my technical side.
Was there any music coming through, like radio frequencies?
Yeah, it would scan really fast. Okay. And you could hear like little bits of, and little bursts of music and a little bit of DJ and things. But we were, you know, we're in the hills of Kentucky, and so surprisingly, I got Wi-Fi in Waverly Hill. I was astounded.
Weird.
Because I used my Spotify account to play some music to see if it would trigger anything, and I was quite amazed that we had Wi-Fi in there. But yeah, little bursts of talk radio songs and things like that, but you could definitely make out a difference if a voice or something would come through. It was really clear. Took an amazing tour in Charleston, South Carolina. It was a walking ghost tour. And got to go down to the Battery and got to go to one of the most haunted cemeteries in the United States. It was, I'm going to forget the name of it now because it's been a long time since I've been there. But the grave of Sue Howard, that might be familiar to some of your listeners. The photographic evidence from 1987 of a woman kneeling at a grave of an infant and her own grave of Sue Howard. And so that was, it was really, really interesting. A lot of good stories. Went to Barnstable, Massachusetts, which is on the Cape, in September, and took a really good tour there. Had a really creepy experience in the country's oldest wooden jail. You're familiar with that since you're in Connecticut, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so take a little jaunt over there if you guys haven't been.
No, I haven't.
Go visit the... Oh, go. I would highly recommend it. Derek... last name? Derek runs it. No, we'll do that. But it bonks the ball, ghost tours. The oldest wooden jail in the United States was built in 1690, and it's still standing, and so he brought us in there at the end of the tour, and I don't want to go too much into it because you all might get to go, and I don't want to spoil anything, but had a really creepy and powerful experience in that room, so... Highly recommend it. Any of your East Coast listeners, if you're near the Cape, go meet Derek and go take his tour. It's fantastic. You get to walk through this really creepy cemetery, and it's great. Well worth the money. It's only, you know, about $15, 2 hours fun and entertainment and some great stories.
Did try paranormal field trip. We'll go and then call you back and compare notes.
Okay. Sorry about that. Atchison, Kansas, I've toured there. That's supposedly one of the most haunted cities in the United States. That, of course, is the location of the infamous Sally House. You all are familiar with the Sally House?
Yeah.
It's been on sightings in the 90s. Ghost Adventures has investigated it. It's the home of the little girl who supposedly died as a result of a failed appendectomy in the turn of the century, 1900s. And has been the site of, you know, supposedly demonic activity. And so got to drive by, see that. Santa Fe, New Mexico has an amazing ghost walk as well. A lot of fantastic stories. And plus, it's Santa Fe, so it's beautiful. Guthrie, Oklahoma actually is one of the most haunted cities in the United States as well. And you get to tour that. And there's a saloon, the Bluebell Saloon, which still has bullet holes. Gunfights from the 1890s, still lodged in their tin ceiling. That's pretty cool. And then I've been to the Queen Mary, which is, I mean, speaks for itself.
Oh my God. You've been everywhere.
Anytime I take a vacation, that is like my requisite. I also visited Miramont Castle this summer in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And even though it may not have a very popular or well-known history, I would recommend y'all check that out. The castle itself is immense, and it's very creepy. It looks like something right out of a Gothic novel. It was built by a French priest in the late 1800s. He came over from France. He had been down in New Mexico, and then they moved him up to Colorado Springs. He brought his mother there to live with him. He was not well liked by the town folk of Manitou Springs, Colorado. There's no real record as to why. He was not well liked. And only after 5 years, he and his mother went back to France. So I think his mother died, and then he returned back to France. But he had all the nuns from the church working for him, unpacking his things, waiting on him hand and foot. And he he lived in this amazing, this opulent castle built up into the side of a mountain in Colorado Springs. And you go in there and it's this creepy vibe. I can't even explain it. It's just, it's oppressive and it's heavy and you don't want to stay in there too long, but you can't leave.
Did the hair on your arm stand up?
Yeah, a little bit. I was down on a floor by myself and looking around the corner and looking at his room, one of his offices. And it was a wooden floor in the office. And so I couldn't quite see around the corner because they had it cordoned off. But I could hear creaking footsteps back there. And I don't know if somebody was back there messing around or what. But it just made for a really creepy ambiance. And it was rainy that day. It was cloudy. And it was just, oh, it was just creepy and wonderful. And it used to be also a tuberculosis hospital as well, something similar to Waverly Hills. So check it out online, Miramont Castle in Colorado Springs. And so yeah, that's my jam is whenever we go anywhere, I'm like, okay, where's the haunted places? Where are we gonna go? I've been to the Lent Mansion too in St. Louis, but I didn't actually tour it. We just did a murder mystery night and ate some food and some wine. And those are the only spirits I guess we got to experience that night. That's a beautiful place as well.
I posted a thing on our Facebook recently, things you should know if you're going to date someone who is into the paranormal. So you were like definitely part of that stereotype. You're like number 3, 6, and 9 on that list. It's like prepare, like your vacation will revolve around that. And restaurants, that. Want a present? No problem. Ghost book, ghost movie.
See?
Over how many years have you been to all these places?
Oh, let's see. It's been like 15 years.
Oh, okay.
It's been 15 years.
Like lifelong. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I had to stop for, you know, jobs and responsibilities.
Yeah.
And but yeah, it's fantastic. I've been to New Orleans, of course, and strangely enough, didn't get to take a ghost or vampire tour, but I think just the vibe in New Orleans alone, I think it's enough. I've been to Marie Laveau's voodoo shop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's super creepy and interesting as well. So, yeah, anytime I'm going to touch that lifestyle, wherever I go to, you know, it's, I'm a goth at heart. I went to a super small high school, so I definitely could not ever let that side out of me. But, every Halloween, I'm some kind of a vampire, some kind of a hollow-eyed,
right. I go to New Orleans like once a year now because I have family down there. And yeah, we went through the Voodoo Museum, the Voodoo Shop. It's really cool. Oh my God. When I went to the museum, actually, it was so cool. It's not really paranormal, but there were actually these two chicks in there doing letterboxing, if you've ever heard of that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, like, that much about it. But, you know, you go, like, different locations and you find out where, like, a letterbox is going to be. You know, you find it and then you do your own thing on it. It was just, it was so interesting. Like, it was already, I mean, I don't want to say like it was creepy because it's not really meant to be creepy, but I mean, it's, you know, you think of museums and a lot of times you think of like big things, but New Orleans, you know, it's a city, everything's small. So, I mean, that museum is just like a long, twisty hallway, really. It's like really small. And then the fact that these two girls were doing something, I was like, what is going on here? it's really cool. It's definitely like a must go, must see.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And then like history buffs too, you know, just like even with the, you know, Waverly in Missouri and, you know, any penitentiaries you go to, like you alluded to earlier, you know, even if you're just into the history, there's always history tours out, you know, all these types of places too, like not just the ghosts, although the stories of the ghosts always come out kind of within the history anyway.
Yes. And that's the other facet that I love is the history. I'm a huge history buff, and that's kind of where my other side kind of interesting blog comes in is I do contribute to Chris Williams' blog, Key to Your Tree, and it is historically based. It's genealogically based, and so Chris and I will provide tips on how to do genealogical research, how to look for trends within research, and then we'll add in some fun, you know, trips of, hey, go here, check this out, what about this? And so I've contributed a few things to her blog as well. And
oh, that's awesome.
She's been really, yeah, she's great. You guys can definitely check that out. Key to Your Tree. She's a fantastic writer and she's a very well-seasoned traveler. She's been to really cool places. She was up there in up there on the East Coast, not too far from y'all. So, yeah, check her things out, too. So, yeah, I get to write about those things. And she also is a big history buff, very well-versed in it, and was actually hired onto the show, on the Ghost Hunters, to be the researcher.
Right, and yeah, I remember them saying that's how they had already known her, and then it came to bringing her on Ghost Hunts.
Yeah, yeah, so she's pretty, I hope she doesn't mind me, you know, speaking for her, but, you know, I think she's been pretty open about being, she also is skeptical, and but also has had a few things where she can't explain that. She shared that with us, when she was at Waverly Hills also, and she shared that with us that she had an experience at Waverly Hills, and I think that was even on TV. She and Dustin were down in the Death Chute and Death Tunnel, and yeah, they got spooked a little bit. But anyway, so yeah, I get to have the history. I get to have the paranormal. It's just, it's such a great connection. And yeah, I love it. I like probably many other people who are fascinated by this. Just it's a lifestyle, and it's something that's absolutely intriguing. And, mm-hmm. and you feel a real connection with other people when you realize they're into it as well. So it's a great community.
How did you hook up with Chris and writing for her? Was that from meeting her at Waverly?
Well, actually, I had followed her blog, had followed her on Twitter, followed her blog, and she had put out a call for, hey, do you have any interesting family history stories that you want to share that you'd like to put in my blog? So I contacted her. I said, hey, here's my story. I can write it up if you're interested. And she said, yeah, that sounds good. So I wrote it up and she said, hey, I like this. And she published it, and then I said, if you ever want anything else, just let me know. And she said, yeah, feel free to send me a few other things. So I did, so it's been a great working relationship. She's a very nice person. She's very gracious, and feel really lucky to have made that connection. And then she was at Missouri State Penn, so I met her briefly there, and then I had written for her, and then I got to meet her again in May, and it was great. I was actually like, hey, how's it going? And she's very nice. So, yeah. And she's very supportive.
Yeah, she's really active on Twitter. I follow, I see she'll post things. She posted a video. It was kind of a while ago now, but I thought it was good because it was just like, here's all the questions that you guys are still asking me, you know, years later. Will I go back on Ghost Hunters? Will I go back on GHI? It was just like really, it just like blunt, you know, not mean, just like nice, but not like super sugary sweet nice either. She's just like, here's the deal. Like,
yeah.
And I thought that was kind of cool, actually. I like that video.
I know. Yeah, she's real. And then that's, you know, it's really great. And I think if you follow her on Twitter, like, I think you pretty much get that really great piece of her personality. So, yeah. It's been fun. Yeah.
Those articles you wrote, those got posted on Key to Your Tree or on something else she writes?
Yep, keytoyourtree.com. Yep, they're on there. I have done a few things about, you know, my family history, and a couple of things on a couple of places that I've been, some field trip things. And also did one about the shooting in South Carolina this summer at the church, and then the controversy with the Confederate flag. And I pretty much wrote it in a way that just presented the facts. I know, because it's such an emotionally charged topic for so many people. And Chris and I talked about it. And I just said, I really feel like something needs to be said about this topic, and I want to write something. And you know, I left it very open-ended. There's no set opinion on whether it was right or wrong. And quite a few people responded to it, and I had just said, you know, be respectful of other people's views and opinions. And
right.
So, yeah. But yeah, it's all on there if anybody wants to check it out and, you know, critique my writing and things like that, topics and whatnot. But that's the great thing about social media. You know, there's all kinds of ways to communicate and do outreach and get your thoughts and your opinions out there.
Yeah, when we had first, you know, talked over, you know, meeting over Twitter, I remember that was like the first thing we were saying, just like, there's so many different things. I mean, doing this podcast alone, we've learned, you know, we don't just want to interview people with ghost stories or just, you know, people who've had haunted houses or, you know, just investigators. Like, you want, you know, keep it interesting. Interesting. And I mean, there's no shortage of it. There's so much you can do, from like writing to linking up with other people to, I mean, it's just endless in this field. Like, you don't just have to be like a ghost hunter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's great.
So are you writing stuff like every single day then, basically? Is it basically your unofficial career? Second job?
I wish. I wish that were the case. And, you know, it's getting to be finals time in the world of college, and so I'm pretty busy and working with a lot of people, and so haven't really had a lot of time to write, and, you know, it gets to me after a while, because like I said, that's one of my releases. It's a creative thing that I can do. So don't get to write as often as I would like, but when I do feel like I want to write, then I'm like, I'm down, and I'm working on it. Basically little short things, short stories or blogs. Those are the things that I can kind of pump out the quickest. I've also had one of my short stories was published in an anthology not too long ago, and it came out the beginning of September, I believe. Oh. So that was exciting.
Yeah,
and
congrats.
Thank you. I submitted another piece of work to a website, and so we'll kind of see where things are going with that. But yeah, definitely a hobby, definitely something that I've wanted to do my whole life. Since I read so much, writing is kind of the next thing. Right. I got to go to Margaret Mitchell's apartment in Atlanta a couple of years ago. You know, she wrote Gone with the Wind, and got to see where she got to write Inspired. And, oh yeah, you don't have to live in a big grand place to be able to write.
Right now, luckily.
Yeah.
So, do you investigate them much with the group you started, or what's that all about then? Holy Haunted Housewives.
Well, actually, like I said, you know, we live about 7 hours away, and so it's primarily she and I going to these ideal events, okay. Ideal event management. So we're going back to Missouri State Fair in July, and we're going to do a little more follow-up investigation there. But we've also looked at other locations, like we could meet somewhere in Arkansas. You know, they have the Crescent Hotel, which is highly haunted. Apparently, if you go to their website, they've got some really great packages. You can just go and investigate on your own. So that might be something for your listeners to look into. Our dream is to go to the Stanley Hotel, so we've kind of been kicking that around, pricing that as well. They have some great ghost tours. So it's, you know, we both have responsibilities. We've got families, jobs, and things like that. And so it's kind of hard for us to get together and investigate, you know, and on our own or anything. And we kind of like working under the umbrella of other people, like we're not quite ready to go out on our own and like start doing the investigation. So we're kind of using our training wheels.
Okay.
And since we're just getting started. So we kind of like being under the guise of a little more of the, you know, professional kind of guidance and things like that. But she and I talk about it frequently, you know, because I don't feel completely competent and ready to go out on my own. But I do like being in a controlled environment, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a big deal. It's something that comes up on our show all the time, too. You know, too many people do just want to go out and do it. And you don't think of all the actual work behind it and, you know, the responsibility that you have to following up and, you know, counseling your clients and all that kind of thing.
Absolutely. And then coming from the world of counseling and psychological mental health care, you know, I'm like, liability.
You'll go there to counsel them on their ghost, and you're going to, like, come there meet a therapist or something. That'll actually be your next business by default.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it's a hobby for both of us, and it's fun. It's a way for us to spend some great time together. It's something that she and I can do that's just unique to us. And so we're cool with it, keeping it the hobby level. I don't know if it'll ever get any further than that, but I'll always be a student of the subject. So
cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So then one more time, where are all these places we can find all your great writings? Maybe not all of them. A lot of them, though. So your main thing, your blog and the magazine?
Yes. Pop Goes Annabelle Lee at WordPress. That gets updated as frequently as I can, which isn't always very often. But check it out. It's not very pretty.
How long has it been around altogether?
I think I started it in March.
Oh, okay.
I remember. So about 9 months. And I, like I said, I am not very technologically advanced, so it's not very pretty. It's just my writing. There's sometimes a banner. Sometimes I forget to put it on there, and I always forget to tag things. So I'm not very well-versed in advertising it. But if you can get there, it's some, a little bit of food for thought. So there's that. There's keytoyourtree.com. Some of my contributions there to Chris Williams' blog about genealogy and research and things like that. And paranormalunderground.com, you can have a paid subscription, check into some of their stories. They have a great array of writers, and I know Dr. Barry Taft has been on their staff to do some writing, and he's pretty well known in the community and with his research. And so good stories, good folks on there. So those are kind of my social media outlets there, and so that's where you can go to find some of my writing, and keeping it real and loving what I do and loving the research. And even if people think I'm a little creepy, that's okay, because I really like it.
Nice. Well, I remember when your post was like describing just how creepy you are and aren't, so.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing when souls in sync can connect. So.
Awesome. Well, again, so thank you so much. Again, it's Mindy Windholz from all these different writings, all her blogs, all the links you just said. Of course, we'll put them on the show notes. And thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you so much for your time. It's been a lot of fun. Best wishes to everyone on your staff and your team. Thank you, guys.
All right, we'll be in touch.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Dead Tribe Paranormal.
Thanks for listening to Dead Tribe Paranormal. After you're done, please listen to our other podcast, Rock Stories. In this series, we meet with music artists and bands that are out there keeping the scene alive. We capture and share their stories with you, the fans, and use their music as a soundtrack. Also look forward to new shows like Audibly Anonymous, the show where you, the listener, can anonymously share your deepest secrets. Please visit our website at echopodmedia.com and sign up for our email list on the homepage.
Hi, I'm Karen of Readings by Karen. Do you wonder where your life is headed? About work, family, relationships? Now is the time to contact a professional intuitive. I can give you the clarity you deserve to make the tough decisions in your life. Lower your anxieties and call today, 860-665-8024, or visit me on the web at readingsbykaren.com. Call today, 860-665-8024, or readingsbykaren.com. Readings by Karen, what's in your future?